Word. So if you would pray with me. Father, I thank you, Lord, for all you do. Lord, I thank you that we can worship you corporately, and what a great time we have worshiping you, Lord. I can't wait for that day when we're in your presence and we can do it. We all have perfected voices, Lord, but till now, this is just an awesome opportunity to be with the saints. Lord, I do, jokingly about the football teams, Lord, but I do pray, lift up professional sports to you. It's just gone. There's a lot of people that like them, and it's just got such an agenda. I just pray for that. I also pray for our country, that you would make the truth known and reveal the hidden things that are going on in our country and our government, Lord, that you would expose the wicked and evilness, not only in that, but in our own hearts, Lord, that we would just hear from you clearly this morning. Lord, I pray as we go through your word, Lord, that you would give us an understanding of what you'd have for us this morning. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I really didn't pray for the Dallas Cowboys. I don't actually watch sports. But I understand that. It's tough. And so also, if I'm kind of avoiding you guys. My wife works in the emergency room, so with all the sickness that's going on around, and there's other stuff. We've had this creeping crud in the school. It's everybody's out for a couple of days, so just be smart, you know. People that are not quite so healthy, just keep your distance from them. So anyhow, I've been going through 1 Timothy. Thursday night we did chapter 4, one of those. And it's talking about, you know, Timothy and Titus are all about leadership and different roles of leadership. And so we're going to just jump right into it. Because today, you know, we live in a place with rules. And we deal with a lot here at the school. We have rules. And a lot of times some of the rules, the kids will say, well, that's a stupid rule. And I say, well, it's kind of stupid that we have to have that for a rule. Yes. But for some, there's a reason it's there, is because somebody did something, so we had to make a rule against it. Well, as we know, we have laws for reasons as well. You know, if we didn't have laws, there would be a lot of chaos. We don't get to just do what we want. So there's certain things we have to go by. The church is no different. The church has rules. And Paul is talking to Timothy about those rules here and what to do in different situations. So there's going to be three distinct topics in this portion. It starts off with talking about elders. It comes back around to that. We're going to be talking about widows. And then we're going to be talking about leadership in general and what you do there. So let's just jump right in. And first two verses, chapter 5, verse 1. Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters with all purity. So be respectful. Now, you wouldn't think we'd have to talk about that, but there's been a lot of respect gone. I don't know about you, but I've been in people's houses, and the way the kids talk to the parents. Well, you guys know, most of you, you only talk back to your dad once. And when you get, then after you get up, you don't talk back to your mom more than once. I was actually more scared of my mom than my dad. Man, she was a school teacher. I had years ago, I was went to building a house for somebody, and they said, I had your mom for a school teacher. She was really nice. I said, you're a liar. I said, I had my mom for a school teacher for 2 years in a row, and I didn't stay back. I went from 7th, and she moved to 8th. I'm like, you're not moving to high school, are you? She goes, no. I'm like, good. So, yeah, and she was old school. You know, she was a disciplinary. I wouldn't get it in school. She'd just go, we'll talk about this at home. Oh, great. I've had it. So, but anyhow, being respectful. You know, we need to be respectful of the elders in our church and, you know, the widows and leadership. So, if we do have to speak somebody older than us, and if there's an issue, do it with all respect and love, understanding that they are an elder in the church and they are elder, period. Speak in a way that gives them honor. A woman like a mother, right? Do we speak to women like we do mother, older women? Younger like a sister in the Lord. So we can't take that like, you know, your sibling that you fight with. That's not what we're talking about, right? But we're talking about treat them as a sister in the Lord. We're going to be with each other for eternity, and we need to get it figured out here first. So, but with all purity, pure thoughts, you know, there never should be anybody in leadership that women aren't comfortable around as for men. If there is, that needs to be straightened out. We need to have pure thoughts towards each other and Titus 1:15, it talks about that. You guys know it. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Even their minds and consciences are defiled. And you know, this happens a lot in school. You know, it's a Christian school, but they're still, we have humans. So you'll say something and they'll snicker, and I just say, get your mind out of the gutter. That's not what I was talking about. And it kind of is a tell, you know, kind of like, oops, where are your mind going? So we want to have pure thoughts towards our brothers and sisters as well. So verse 3 said, honor widows who are really widows. And this is going to be a big deal. We're going to talk about this. There's quite a few verses about that. And so widows, we talked about widows way back, I mean in Acts in 6:1. Now in those days when the number of disciples were multiplied, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in daily distribution. So, you know, we have to be careful that we don't take on too much in leadership. And I mean in leadership of anybody, anywhere from door greeter on. Because, first of all, it can be overwhelming. Obviously, they were not getting it done. So they had to bring some other people in to fill in the gap. That's where Stephen and Philip and those people came in, which actually God used. So let's not think that just because we're in a lower position that God's not going to use us, because we're all in the same position as far as I'm concerned. We're all in ministry. We minister to our brothers and sisters, our family, brothers and sisters, and we minister to those out in our work and different things. So, but we need to, I think we need to spread that work out. You know, and if you're somebody that's here and you really want to do more, talk to somebody about it. There's different things that can be done. And so, you know, and the other part of that is if we take on too much, it can be a problem. And when I was a young believer, this happened to me. I was a building contractor and a carpenter for all my life. And when we went to this church and I started getting involved in doing stuff, then I was really just doing it with a bad attitude because I didn't have help. Why isn't everybody else helping? And I was a new believer. And boy, the Lord dealt swiftly and harshly with me on that. And so we don't want to get bad attitudes about serving. We want to serve and have it to be a joy and know that we're doing it for the Lord. There's certain stuff that's really not that rewarding if we just look at it as, you know, cleaning the chairs and the carpet. Well, it is when people come in and have clean chairs and carpet. But our attitudes towards that, and, you know, I don't see that. I mean, we have a great bunch of people serving here, but still, there's always room to stick somebody else in there. So anyhow, I'm going to spread out the blessings. So anyhow, widows who are really widows, let's read. I'm going to read quite a chunk from 4 down to 16 and then go back over it. But if any widow if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good, acceptable before God. Now she who is really a widow and left alone trusts in God and continues in supplication and prayers night and day. But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. And these things command that they may be blameless. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of the household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number, and not unless she has been the wife of one man, well reported for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. But refuse the younger widows, because when they have begun to grow wanton against Christ, they will desire to marry, having condemnation, because they have cast off their first faith. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Therefore, I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage a house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully to them. Okay, so back in verse 1, it was talking about let them show piety in the home or respect. So if we have families and children and grandchildren should be taking care of them. Now, we live in a bit of a different world, quite a lot, than back then. We have a lot of cases where we can't personally take care of those because of health issues and different things. And basically, I mean, a lot of us work, both husband and wife work. I mean, we live in a place where it's expensive and we work, but there's a lot to it. So You know, and sometimes our parents can be difficult. But we probably were when we were young. And I know I wasn't, but except in 7th and 8th grade when my mom was a teacher. But sometimes we have to do that. Okay, there's obvious cases, you know, that we can't help, but can we support our families financially? And then that's another giant burden because the cost of health care. So there's a lot to it, but are we there for them? Are we giving up ourselves to help those? Do we honor them with respect? Now, you know, that's a tough thing, and my wife has been such a great example of it because her mom was not a nice person. She really wasn't. She had her moments when she, you know, you'd almost see a little glimpse of light, but we would go visit her, and you know, when we get down and we get out in the car, my wife would just sit there and go, oh, just holding that in, just respect. She respected her, and she said a lot of things. Well, you know, there's a, she used to always, for holidays, we'd go there, and she'd always put us on the spot because we were the religious people, so we could pray. Man, that's great. There's like 16 unbelievers in the room. I'll pray. And it was great, and I didn't hold back, and they asked us to pray less and less. I don't know why, but we did respect her. Her mom and my mom were just the opposite. My mom wouldn't say anything. I mean, she, you know, she had her moments, but she was just the opposite of her, and my wife just loved her. So anyhow, I was glad that my mom lived long enough to meet my wife because yeah, she really liked her. So to repay their parents, this is good and acceptable before the Lord. So we are to repay our parents for all the stuff we put them through. You guys ever pray that? That when you have kids, I hope they're just like you. Nope, mine were good. Verse 5. Now she who is really a widow and left alone trusts in the Lord and continues in supplication and prayers day and night. So is she faithful, this person? Did you see her in church before when her husband was alive? How did she serve? Did she take care of her family and her friends and her home? Was she a praying person? Was she a good mom, a good husband? You know, we all know those people. We all know those people who have grown up in the church and they've lost somebody. And that's tough. It's a hard thing, you know, to have that person be alone all of a sudden. We don't want to abandon them by any means. Whether we like them or not, we do have a part to play. And you know, at the end of my mom's life, she grew up in the Catholic Church. And she asked me a lot of questions when she was sick. And I was able to answer them with confidence and tell her the difference. And you know, that was a huge thing, to just live our lives in front of our family. They know. My family knew what I was like before I got saved. I've only been a believer for 18 years. I'm 60. So I had a lot of junk out there. You know, my family saw all that. And now they see what Jesus has done in me. So, you know, was she a faithful, good person? Or was she like verse 6? But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. Is this person a party that's coming to look for help? Is she living for the Lord or herself? These are observable things. But does that mean that we don't help them? We help people that come here. We don't have a big test sheet. Write out your testimony. We help people. But if they continue to come back, are we helping or enabling? That's the difference between somebody that the church has taken in as a widow and is taking care of them, or the family is taking care of them, whichever works the best. But we have to be wise with what God gives us here in the church as well. And, you know, there's certain cases that we're not really sure about, so we always err on the side of generosity. But when you see, of course, that you're being used, then that's a different thing. So the real widows in verse 3 are those in the church who are devoted to God and serve. And there's many areas. And, you know, some people, as they get older, they don't feel like they can serve because physically they aren't able to do that. But serve in prayer. Like, we have a giant prayer chain. I wouldn't know how many people are on it. But, you know, what is more important than prayer? You know, we pray for our families, our friends. It's a constant thing. There's people that will pray. I know there has been people that pray for the school, for the students. I mean, there's such a need there. Because, you know, you can talk and talk and talk all you want, but until God changes somebody's heart, you're not. I was just talking with a guy here earlier, and you know, we can try to change things in our lives, but until God changes them, the change doesn't stay. And that's the one that matters. Verse 7 says, And these things command that they may be blameless. So we need to teach these things so people can't say, oh, I didn't know. You know, you need to understand how we do things. You know, a lot of people ask questions about the church and the way it operates and all that. And some stuff we're not going to share with financial stuff. We do have financial reports. Joe and I and most of the board don't know who gives. There's some people that collect the offerings and another person that records them and deposits them. We don't have one person doing it all. We don't know who gives what because we don't want to be impartial. So, you know, we have certain things the way they need to be done. One person, if one person was collecting and depositing and all that, there could be a chance for temptation. So, verse 8 says, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That's a pretty high standard there, worse than an unbeliever. So an unbeliever is not saved, and they have judgment. It's worse than that if you're disrespecting your family. And I'm saying it's not always easy, but this is what we have to do. You know, it's not as common. People generally do take care of their families. But nowadays, I think it's more of grandparents taking care of grandkids because we've dropped the ball somewhere. And I actually had somebody, I was looking through a comment, and somebody from Maine was commenting on Calvary Chapel. And she said, well, I don't like that because it's a man's church. Well, I mean, the pastor's big, giant lumberjack. I think he's great. Ken Graves, you might have heard of him. He does men's conferences in California everywhere. It's a man's church. Well, I would hope so, because the men are the spiritual leaders of the home, and the men have dropped the ball. And how many missing dads are there? So, yes. But then she said that women don't have a voice, and I don't know what that means. We can all have a voice. I'm not sure, but the absentee of fathers in homes, you know, that kind of breaks that chain of, I have a confusing family. Okay, I've been divorced and remarried, so I get a headache trying to explain it to people sometimes. Taking care of your family is much more complicated, but it shouldn't be, because if there's somebody in need, we should take that on. There are people that take care of widows that aren't their mom. There are women that take care of kids that aren't theirs. You know, back then, in the Roman times, people would abandon their baby because they didn't want it and be left to exposure. Sometimes animals would haul that baby off. The Christians were known for picking up those babies and raising them. That's who we should be. I mean, who could walk by a child and not pick it up if you have a heart at all? You know, and then, you know, that's something that's dear to my heart because I have stepkids. And I have my oldest one calls me dad. Her dad's never been in the picture. And my daughter, my biological daughter, is so cool about it because she goes, that's one thing I love about you. They're your kids, whether they're the biological dad or not. And, you know, some of you know Aaron that was here, you know, and we've had a rough past. And we try to treat those kids the same and we try to love them the same, but it's different. You know, me and my wife met, Aaron was going to jail. So I didn't get the cute boy, the fun times. I had trouble, a little bit less. Oh, he's in jail. Okay, so he's safe. And he's a believer, and he's given me permission to talk about him as much as I like. So, but, you know, so the widows, the brothers, the sisters, and mothers, all that, to me, is a real general term in the way we live today. Help those who are around us. Treat them, if they're our age, as a sister. You know, we used to do, when I lived on somewhere, Cottage Sand Road, we had kinship, and Tamara first started coming over, and my wife would say, she's just like your sister. I said, well, she is. Just because we have a different last name, different mother, you know, we are. There's people that just are in our lives that like, yeah. So, anyhow, the church shouldn't have the burden of a family that somebody else can take care of. Now, I do believe that the church, you know, does have a huge responsibility in this, and we do help a lot of people, and that's another whole thing. But So back to verse 3, it said, honor them. So honor widows. That doesn't mean we're going to have widows come up and we're going to give them an award. No, let's honor them with respect. And when we help them financially, we'll do it in private, right? These are people that have worked all their lives. Now back then, you know, they worked in the home, but these are people that worked in the home, and now we can't afford to not work. So, you know, these are people that have given their lives, and honor them, and if you're going to help them, do it quietly and gracefully, you know, and you know, don't let the left hand know what the right hand's doing. Just, you know, I was a treasurer in the church in Maine, and I got to see people. They would come to me and they say, hey, I heard that somebody's got a need. Just give them this. And I'd bring the money over and give to them. And they go, who's that from? I said, the Lord. And they're like, how'd they know? Well, the Lord knows. You know, he gives somebody, you know. And I just, to see people's heart is great. And, you know, some of people here get to see that. I don't have anything to do with any of the money. So, anyhow, rabbit trail. Okay, this one's going to be painful. Do not let a widow under 60 years of old be taken into the number, not unless she's been the wife of one man. Now, I think 60 is really young. But back then, actually the average age for a woman's lifespan was 37 because of the deaths of childbirth, the medical situations, the sanitation, all kinds of stuff. Men's was around 42 because obviously they don't give birth. Oh, I was going to stay away from that one. Okay. So anyhow, that's how that was back then. You know, there was that was old for to being a church member back then. And it really doesn't mean, if somebody's 59 and a half, can't help you, come back 6 months if you're still alive. It's not what it means, as you guys know. Verse 10, well reported for good works. If she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed over every good work. So, has she brought up children? And like you guys know, many of you bring up other people's children. That is an awesome opportunity to do that. I know adoption's huge in some churches. That's a great opportunity. Has she lodged stranger? Is she hospitable? Has she washed the saints' feet? A low position is washing saints' feet. I think women are pretty used to that. They'll do the stuff that a lot of us don't like to do. They'll just do it because that's who God made them. It's kind of a superwoman thing to me. It's not only the lowly things, but emotional things that I don't like to get wound up in. Daughters, you know, they get a little like, I don't know, talk to your mom. I don't know what that is. But I feel like I'm, yeah, okay. Has she relieved the afflicted? Has she taken care of people? Has she fed the hungry? Has she sat and cried with people that are crying? You know, I had a discussion. We saw a video. I talked about it Thursday night, but we saw a video for Operation Christmas Child, which I forgot to mention, pray for. And there was this young girl that she looked like she was about 10 years old. She had been raped by her dad and all that. And one of the kids says, what do you do with that? I says, well, wait till somebody tells you that in person. You weep with them, right? You don't just say, suck it up. Better days are coming. No. So we come alongside. Is that woman that type of person that just goes to those that are hurting? You know, these widows, are they the ones that are the peacemakers? Are they the ones that sit and pray with you? You know, we can get so, and I try not to do this, but pray for me. Yeah. And instead of saying, let's do it right now, I want to put it off and I forget. You know, I want to be the person that says, can you pray for me? Yep. Here, let's pray right now. You know, and if we don't have time, too bad. And if the service runs late because we've been praying for somebody, so what, right? If it's 3 minutes late, who cares if we had a chance to pray with somebody? I didn't do it. I know how you feel. I'm listening. You know, Jackson. It's cool to get to know these kids that hang around the school. You know, it's Tamara's grandson. And we get to be involved. You know, if you guys ever feel the need, the leading to come and teach here, there's always something. There's always a need. If you want to just come here and read to the little kids, there's always stuff. Rabbit trail. Back to it. Adelicio's not here. He always gives me a hard time about that. Yeah. Good. I have free rein to go rabbit trailing today. Okay, so she has relieved the afflicted. Has she diligently followed every good work? You've seen this person. You know. This is a no-brainer to take care of this lady. What does she need? How can we help her? Verse 11, it says, but refuse the younger widows, for when they have begun to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation because they have cast off their first faith. So wanton or lonely. So it says refuse some. Some might say that they should commit themselves to the service of the church to remain unmarried. Or maybe, you know, commit yourself to the service of the church if you're widowed and you're really grieving through that. And then maybe at some point you'll find someone else of the opposite sex that's doing the same thing, and maybe that's who God has for you. And maybe you have children and you're thinking, oh, I'm widowed, I have children, and who would want me? God can fix that. Because God makes dads even if they aren't biological. So there are people that God can give that love to come into that relationship and take care of that. So, but he's saying they get involved in the church and then they grow weary of not being married. And, you know, loneliness is a real thing. And a lot of people suffer from it. So, and the single moms that have kids or widowed moms, I'm going to say because that's what we're talking about, and have no break at all from the kids, that's a tough thing. You know, I've had to deal with that. I was a single dad, actually, with kids, but it's a little different. 12, so having condemnation because they have cast off their first faith, maybe they marry for the wrong reason, forget about God. You know, we get missionary dating. You know, well, we talked about God. I'm like, well, he's not a believer. Yeah, but I think I can fix him. Oh, yeah. So don't ever go into a relationship thinking you can fix somebody. God fixes people. Okay, we make it worse. I mean, my wife married me when I wasn't a believer. Bad girl. But I was already talking and looking for the Lord. I gave my life to the Lord a month after we were married. So it's, you know, but he's fixed all kinds of stupidness that I've done. So anyhow, but we didn't want to start off on the right foot. We talk about that all the time. You know, there's a couple things we talk about a lot in school. It's about a marriage partner and music. Music's kind of the golden calf because people don't want to give up their non-Christian music. And so I have discussions a lot. And I go, so what are you listening to? What are the lyrics? I'll look at this song. And I looked it up, and the first line is about drinking and something. It's country. I don't know. I don't do country. It's all the same to me. But anyhow, we had this discussion, and I said, but music's powerful. Well, you know, I don't know. Well, if it's not so powerful, why can't you get rid of it? Because it's powerful. It's hard to change from. It's hard to change music. When I threw away my rock and roll stuff, first I'm like, I could sell it. I had CDs back then, you know. And the Lord's like, no, throw it away. Throw it away, really. And it's that point of where I made a decision that part of my life I'm going to change. So, you know, we have discussions about being equally yoked. That's the other big topic here about, and I do it, and I did it to one of our students, and she's a school here, and her boyfriend goes here, and I said to her one day, I said, so I'd like to meet this guy and get to know him. She goes, why is that? I said, because us teachers here, you're our girls. We want to know who you're dating. She's like, aw. I'm like, well, no, really. We want to know. Like, and he's awesome. So, you know, but we do. We get involved in these kids' lives. We want to guide them, right? And we want to know what's best for them. So, you know, we want them to be equally yoked. And so it's important. You know, widows can be vulnerable, or they could be at the end of their rope with kids and all that. So it's important that we do these things. And besides, verse 13, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but also gossiping, busybody, saying things which they ought. So how would it be if we're taking care of a widow and she's out partying and she's out doing all kinds of stuff with the Lord's money? We have to answer to the Lord for that. We can't just do that. And so I've told this before, but when I first moved here, I had a couple of situations right off, and I don't know what it was about. But anyhow, I was at Sonic, and this guy came up to me and says, I'm looking for a bus ticket to somewhere. And I said, well, how much money do you have so far? Well, I don't have any. I said, so where are you going? And he told me where. And I said, how much do you need? And I said, so if you don't go, if you don't get enough, can I have my money back? Like, well, okay. So like, then I go farther because I like to. I said, so when you get there, what's there? Do you have family there or something? No, I don't know. I said, I can't help you. You don't have a plan. Like moving from your problem doesn't, it just gives you a problem in a different place. So we have to be wise with what we give. Now, if he came and said, yeah, you want to call my mom up there and talk to her? Yeah, I'll buy you a ticket, sure. If you've got somebody there, you're going, you got your family is there, you're broke down. I picked up a guy hitchhiking one day from Australia. And I don't pick up people a lot. And he was down by Tyrone, and he was an older man, you know, about my age. Backpack. I don't know, he just looked innocent. I picked him up. And he's like, yeah, I said, you know, what's up? And he told me his story. He got robbed somewhere there anyhow, and he had to get back to Australia. And he said, I really just want a sleeping bag. I'm sleeping on the side of the road. I'm like, that's what you want? He said, yeah. I said, okay. So take him to Walmart, buy a sleeping bag. And then I got talking to him. Interesting guy. He was a believer. And he was traveling across the country. He drives a truck train in Australia across the outback. Had like 7 trailers, this giant thing. And he says, we have 4 months a year off, so I always travel somewhere. And I said, so what'd you think of America? And he said, well, I'm not coming back. And I said, really? He said, well, I've had a lot of people pick me up, say they're Christians, but didn't want to help me. Boom. Like, you know, okay, I understand you're not going to dish out to everybody, but I said, well, I'm sorry. I said, but you know what? I brought him to my house. We had dinner. I love to talk to people from other countries. They're so interesting. And I kept saying, I'm sorry for asking you so many questions, but does this? And he says, yeah, the kangaroos, they're not that nice. And he had a big, giant scar in his arm where one kicked him. And I won't tell you what he said they thought they were from. And then he says, and you Americans, what's it with koala bears? They're not a bear. I'm like, yeah, forgive us. But it was interesting. So, you know, we have to use discernment of who we help. So when he had a plan, but he says, yeah, I got to get to here because I'm flying out of LA on this day. And I said, yeah, you look like you're about on schedule, so cool. And I just did my little part. But I was the one that was blessed because I got to talk to this guy. And he went to a Baptist church near Sydney, and I wish he could have stayed longer, you know. And me and my wife had a great time talking with him. So, but it's interesting, you know, we have to be careful of who we help and what we're doing and with God's money. To me, you know, God's word, we don't cast our pearls before swine. That's God's word. But what we have that God's given us, is blessed us with, those are pearls too, to me. You know, that's, you know, I heard somebody once say that, do you think you're well off so that money's all for yourself? Or is it to share with others? And that really hit me hard, you know. We are all fairly well off. We have this discussion in school. It's a private school. They pay tuition to go here. I said, you guys are really, and I am, we're from a different side of the tracks than a lot of people. You know, I went to that camp up in Members, and there was this little boy there from Mexico. What's across from Deming? Columbus? Or what's, yeah. Yeah, he was from there, but he had a parent both sides of the border, but his mom was in prison. And his dad was an alcoholic, so he was left alone most of the time. He was 12. And I'm like, wow, I really have no idea what's going on. But it was awesome that he was there. And as I shared that story with the students here, I'm like, can you understand? Like, we are so blessed with the least that we have. So we have to be thankful for that. That's why when someone wants to give, and I tell the kids, I don't give a lot, like for senior trip. That's their problem. They want to go to Summit, to the School of Ministry, whatever it is, or some camp, I'm on board. Like, let me help support you to get you there to do that so the Lord can change you. I'm not about you having fun. You can have fun by yourself, you know. You can raise your own money, sell burritos, right? And I will support them somewhat, but when it comes to ministry thing, I'm all about it. So anyhow, you know, let's not be stingy, but helping those, we need to have discernment when we do that. Talking too much. I had Joe Foshi, one of my favorite pastors. He's from Philadelphia. And he said, I have to make sure that my sermon is more of God's word than mine, because which one really matters? Okay. Thanks again. Okay. For 15 says, some have already turned aside. And we know people like that, and that's sad to watch, right? People that have turned from the church. Sometimes, you know, I had a friend, actually he worked for me, and his brother had overdosed and died, and he blamed God. And I tried to tell him, look, God did not make him do that. And he, you know, I hope he's in a better place than he was. Maybe he's watching, Rob. But, you know, his family was believers, and just as sad to see that. And it's like, nah, that's just a reason why you're not following him. So we hate to watch it. We hate to see those things happen. But it says, for some have already turned aside after Satan. And we know if, you know, you're not with God, you're against him. It's simple. You're not on the fence. Nobody wants one leg on each side of a fence. Hurts. If any believing man or woman has widows, let them receive them, and do not let the church be burdened, that they may relieve those who are really widows. That goes back to verse 8, I think it was, talking about this again. We need to take responsibility for that and do what we can. Some of us aren't financially able to help our parents or grandparents, but there's other things we can do. And you know, if we're praying for them, God can multiply things. And a lot of you have seen it. He'll bless you, you know. People teach, you know, if you give this much, you'll get it back 100-fold, and they're waiting for a check. No, he's not talking about money. We can be blessed. I've seen people in ministry that actually worked. The church was small enough, they couldn't afford it. But God stretched everything that they got. Or people dropped off stuff. I think Joe and Dia had that happen. When they were back in the early days, and someone's freezer broke, and they called them, we got all this meat, don't know what to do with it. Oh, you know, God does those things. So now, in verse 17, we're changing a little direction here. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. Okay, so Joe's not looking for a raise. He didn't make me say this. You know, it goes on to say, for the scripture says, you shall not muzzle out the ox while it treads out the grain. The laborer is worthy of his wages. Why would you work an animal and not feed it? All right? Joe's an animal. You know, need to feed him. There's people who don't believe that, and the pastor should be paid, but I can tell you that I don't want my pastor trying to make a living and neglecting the flock. In Maine, our church, the other church we went to was quite small, and the pastor was always like, I got to get a job. He's just not making it. And so I actually hired him for a few jobs, but like the phone calls and the meetings he had to have, I'm like, okay, it's clearly you're not supposed to be working. We're going to trust the Lord, and we're going to pay you, and he will bring it in, and he did. It's like, you know, you can't neglect what your calling is. So, you know, and I don't believe in pastors being overpaid either. It says, you know, double portion. Well, money can ruin a guy and get his eyes off of what he's actually been called to do. So that's not the case here. And that's something that, you know, gets you curious. I mean, the board reviews salaries every year. We take it to heart. We pray about it. We figure out what we're going to do. And it's a serious thing because it's God's money. Verse 19, do not receive an accusation against an elder except for two or three witnesses. So this is a really important thing because gossip likes to run. And, I skipped a part because as far as getting paid, I really like this in Proverbs 30:8-9. It talks about that. It says, remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of God. And, you know, that's, we want to be in that right place. And that's what we do, actually. We, you know, if we're trying to create a position, well, how much money do you need to get by? We're not going to make you wealthy, so forget about that. And anybody goes into ministry thinking they're going to get wealthy, there's only a few of those, and they're false teachers as far as I'm concerned. We won't go down that road today. But Jesus said a laborer is worthy of his wages. So I do think that the pastor should get paid a fair amount, and whatever you think that is, it's really neither here nor there. So the witnesses, so if somebody brings an accusation against somebody, you can't just have somebody come in and, well, I heard this, blah, 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 blah. If you have two or three people that come in and say the same thing and are willing to stand up to you, because, you know, I've heard people say, well, you know, I saw this, but you didn't hear it from me. Well, then why tell me? But if somebody in leadership, an elder, needs to be corrected, we have to do that. We have to say, okay, is this true? Bring them in, talk. You know, one person's story seems right till you hear the other side. We do this all the time in school here. We have kids that blah, 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 blah. So you talk to them separately, and they tell you a story, and they tell you a story. That's what police do, right? And then you bring them together, and like, okay, guys, the story doesn't match. Well, when they're face-to-face, truth comes out pretty quick. And if they don't say it, it comes out in their face. Like, and we get to the truth real quick. But it's called confrontation. A lot of people don't like it, but it's necessary. So if somebody in the church and the leadership is actually really sinning of some sort, we need to know, because we don't want our leadership being looked up to as leadership that is living a sinful life. Why would you want that? Yeah, I guess I'll let that one go. You know, I don't know how you guys' mind works, but I could be reading and talking and have thoughts come in my mind. It's ridiculous. And I'm going, no, that's no. Yep, no. You don't want to be in here. So these three verses, so let's, I'm going to go back. It's in 19, 20, and 21. Do not receive an accusation against the elders, except for two or three witnesses. Those who are sinning, rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest all may fear. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. First of all, rebuking people in public. I haven't been involved in a church where we've had to do that, where somebody didn't take correction of leadership. You know, you go somebody, they don't listen, then you bring somebody else and you talk to them, and if they don't listen, you take them before leadership. So if you have leadership problems, I think they should be rebuked in front of the board. But I don't know if the whole church needs to know, unless it's really serious, and you're warning people to stay away from them, and that happens. There's people that will come in with some crazy doctrine, and the prophet told them to tell Joe something really weird. You know, if he causes trouble in the church, they need to be put out, because our responsibility is to the flock, not to who might think they're in here to correct Pastor Joe. It happens quite a lot, actually. And believe me, if he says something that it's not kosher, that's what the board's for. And we would say, hey, Joe, why are you teaching that you have to love Dallas to be saved? We know you like Pittsburgh. So, but that's our responsibility as a board. And our board rotates every 3 years. We change some people. I'm a lifer, because Matt's an elder. We have a whole bunch. So anyhow, that's our responsibility, to keep our leadership straight. It is a responsibility that we don't take lightly, and we have to talk about things that go on. And is this going to be a problem in the church? Now, I don't know if this place has ever had a church split. If you have something that you don't agree with, that Joe is teaching or I'm teaching, and you can't be here, you don't go tell the people. You just leave and go somewhere where you can find something that tickles your ear. But the church in Maine that I had a church split, and I don't actually know the details of it. It seemed to be a good thing, but the guy up there just left, and then people followed. He didn't talk bad about the pastor. It's just, if you can't get past it, you need to go. If it's something you've seen, again, that's sinful, you need to come to leadership and tell us. Because we want to know if, and there's a reason for it. I got a great quote from somebody here, if I can stop talking long enough to. So anyhow, the witnesses is very important. So yeah, rebuking in the presence. We do this in school. If a kid's messing around in classroom in front of everybody, we scold them in front of everybody. Hopefully it embarrasses them, first of all. But then everybody else can see that we are. Because we get that a lot. We have a kid that did something that wasn't public knowledge. We correct them, and then the other parent says, well, are you disciplining them? Yes. Well, what are you doing? Well, I can't tell you that. But we are. Because it really, the discipline part's our part. So, you know, there's a lot to it. It's not as simple as you would think. And do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sin. Keep yourself pure. So there's two parts to this. First of all, don't lay your hands on anybody hastily. If you have somebody new that comes to the church and wants to get involved in a leadership position, well, you just wait, because you don't know. Maybe they won't even agree what you're teaching with, and they might just go, oh, I can't. I don't want to be a part of that. But it's better to wait and then put them in service than to put them in quickly and then have to remove them because something happened. So the other part of this is getting share in other people's sins, keeping yourself pure. Don't get pulled away by people's sins, gossip, whatever. I was actually in a church one time, and the greeters were actually, it was a big church, and the greeters were inviting people to a party where they were drinking, with alcohol. Well, they weren't there very long. I think it was like 30 seconds after we found out. So, you know, those things can't happen. So we have to prove ourselves, because it's the body that we're protecting. Now, the next verse is really like me. Paul is saying, oh yeah, by the way, I was thinking, no longer drink only water. Like, he's all out of the blue. But I use a little wine for stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities. So obviously from this, this causes controversy, talking about, well, Paul told Timothy to drink. Well, first of all, you can see that he says no longer drink water. He's drinking just water. Some of those places the water wasn't great. Wine actually has alcohol in it, which kills bacteria. And one thing I was reading about said Ephesus was known for how bad their wine was. So it was really like medicine. You know, you've taken that medicine, like, oh, that, yeah. So that's how I picture Timothy anyhow. And I'm not going to go down the alcohol road because, well, we have no time. But you guys know what Scripture says about that. If you're not, you can look it up or you can come talk to somebody. We'll talk about it. Some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment. But those of some men follow later. So some people sin and the Lord rebukes them quickly, and we've seen it. And some people, the Lord's going to correct them later on, maybe in private. We don't need to know about that. It says, likewise, the good works of some are clearly evident, and those that are otherwise cannot be hidden. I have a reference for this somewhere. Let me see. It's like right here. In 4:15, oh, same page. It said, meditate on these things, giving yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. So the evidence was right. It said again, likewise, good works of some are clearly evident. We should see people. We should be able to see people's good works. We talk about that all the time. We're not saved by good works. We know that. But if you're loving Jesus and you're living that life, it'll be evident. You know, and people, and I just shared this Thursday night, but when I was a building contractor, I had a salesperson that would stop by the house office. And one day my wife was home with me, and this girl came in, and she started talking to us. And, like, she was just radiating. And Kim looked at her and said, you got saved, didn't you? She goes, yeah, yeah. Like, wow, like, that's cool, you know. So it's evident what God's done in our lives, or even from our past, right, from our history. So, and the other part of that is, and those that are otherwise cannot be hidden. Well, so Warren Wiersbe says, no pastor or church is perfect, but that should not hinder us from striving to perfection. The ministry of the local church rises and falls with its leadership. Godly leadership means God's blessing, and that is what we want it to be. That is why there's such a lot of information in Timothy and in Titus about leadership and how that should operate. You know, it's a high standard. I get it, but it's not too high that all of us shouldn't want to live that same standard. And then you guys all know this verse, Matthew 7:13-14, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Many are called, and few are chosen, right? So we want to be the chosen. We want to stay on that narrow gate. I think as time goes, it's getting narrower because there's less people that can tolerate us in our narrow-minded Jesus minds, right? But it doesn't change our path. It's just a little narrower. So you have to be careful because there's things that can pull us away at any time. And, you know, sin sneaks up slowly. You know, we always had a saying in Maine that, there's 6,000 lakes in Maine. So there's, you know, a lot of stuff going on there. If you untie a boat and there's no wind or anything, it will drift from the dock. eventually. It will drift. The current under the water, even a lake, they have springs up there so that it's current. If we unhook from Jesus, we are going to drift. We need to be connected with him at all time. I think church is important. I absolutely think it's essential. And, you know, there's a lot of our spiritual peace that we need in this time as well. So we have peace in our lives. So, amen. Father, I thank you, Lord, for another Sunday. Lord, for us to gather together. Lord, it's always so nice to be with the body, Lord. And I pray you guide our discussions and our everything that goes on this week as we go out into the world and shine your light. Lord, again, I'm thankful that we can come and meet with you. Lord, I do pray for Joe that you would just continue to heal his body. I pray for these children that are going to receive these shoe boxes full of goodies, Lord, and essentials that they need, Lord, and I pray you'd bless that ministry as well. Lord, I just thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen.